Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, you are unstoppable. You are God. You're King. You're Lord. You're Creator. You're all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing. Lord, you are a wonder to our lives. And Father God, tonight we just come before you wanting to hear and to know where we're going. And Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. Okay, we are going to, real quick, got some announcements for you. First of all, this Sunday between first and second service and after service, we have a youth bake sale. In order to raise money for their youth retreat called Thrive, which will be in March 11th through 13th at Emmanuel Pines Prescott. Super excited about that. So you need any information, talk to the youth leaders. Also, Fruits of Harvest is requesting warm clothes and blankets donations for people in need. So if you've got that, take it over there. And lastly, we are going to be undecorating Sunday after service. So if you'd like to help, we could use as many hands as possible. All right, let's get into this because we got a lot of ground to cover. Let me just say this. Where in the world are we going is the title of our message. Fear is not my goal. Urgency is, awareness is, expectancy is. Now, before we get to Matthew, let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 20. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, that's believers, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that the day should overtake you as a thief, but you are sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch, very important, and be sober. For those who sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. I jumped down to verse 16, by the way. You're like, where is he going? Jump down to verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Listen here, verse 19 and 20. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. In Revelation 19:10, verse B, or section B, says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy is not a bad thing. Unfortunately, too often in the churches nowadays, prophecy is taken way too far and it is exaggerated. But also, 1 Thessalonians goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians 5, in 21 and 22, it says this, test all things, hold fast to what is good. Here you go. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, in order to abstain from evil, sometimes we have to identify it first. Now, at Christmas time, I told you that God told me to change the message that I was going to give because I was going to lay it on thick and heavy. Well, tonight you get to hear what I put aside, sort of. We got videos going? Let me pray. Father God, I just pray right now, Lord, for the message tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help us focus. Keep the enemy away. May this message go out and be strong and be what you want to have shared tonight. Father, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Christmas. I know we passed Christmas, but this is a good time to let you know some truths about Christmas, about Santa Claus, about old Saint Nicholas. We have to go, in order to understand this, we have to go all the way back to the Moabites. The Moabites worshipped Baal and Tammuz. Tammuz and Semiramis was basically, you see these images, they look like the Virgin Mary and Jesus. That's actually taken from Tammuz and Semiramis. That's a whole deep study. It dips into Valentine's Day. I'm not going to ruin that one for you. But here's, just like God has many different names. Satan likes to do the same thing. So you got Baal, Tammuz, you have Chemosh and Molech. Different names, same type of worship. And you're going to see that weaved in this as we go through. Now, in order to worship Baal, Chemosh, Molech, they would sacrifice their infants. What would they sacrifice? Infants. During the winter solstice, which was around December, the end of December, in Scandinavia, the winter festival is called Yule. Well, Yule in the Chaldean language is infant. Yule logs are thrown into the fire. Babies were thrown into the fire. As they were laid in the arms and in the lap of Molech, kind of reminiscent of how oftentimes parents take their children and put them in the lap of Santa Claus. Oftentimes the children are screaming because he's kind of spooky. Well, you'll see what I'm talking about here in a moment. On December 21st, they also believed, certain regions of the world, that Odin would fly through the night on a horse with eight legs. Where the idea of eight reindeer come from, by the way. Odin is depicted as an old man with a white beard and a pointy hat. We'll talk about that here in a moment. And he would come to take all the dead spirits. And people would leave treats out for him, grain offerings and sometimes a drink offering of some, out of fear. And people believed... That's right. If you can do me a favor and silence all your cell phones, and I would also recommend that if you have a cell phone, that you just focus on the message tonight. I'm only going to do this once. And if you see someone next to you on their phone, smack them. You think I'm joking. So they believed they could communicate to the dead. And they would bring these trees into the home, and they were evergreens, and it spoke of conquering death and everlasting life, defeating death. Now, here's the other thing. Those who worshipped Baal and Molech and Chemosh, they would all year long make a list of blessings that they would like to receive, that they believed would be answered by the sacrifice of their baby. Now, with those who had the Yule log, it was kept burning in the fireplace for 12 days. 12 days of, right. They would usually take whatever remained from the previous year, they would add it to the new year of burnings. This was to appease the spirits. They also believed that the goddess of Hertha would appear in the fireplace. And if she appeared in the fireplace, they would all be blessed for the year. Hertha would be considered the goddess of earth, mother god, and same as Tammuz. Now, Druid witches worshiped the deity of Hertha by leaving milk and pastries out for her by the fireplace. Sound familiar? Now, side note. Baal, Mithra, Odin often were pictured with a Phrygian cap. And you say, what is that? Well, put up picture number one. I know they're working on a lot of stuff. So you see that kind of elfy type hat. Next picture. We'll go through these pictures kind of quickly. And one more. So these fictitious gods, Baal, Mithra, Odin, often had these Phrygian caps, the pointy cap bent over on the side. Now, remember this, and I want you to hang this on your belt as we go through. We're going to go through a vast number of things besides Christmas, but we're just starting here because that was the last thing that I said I would talk about. Remember what Satan said. He said, I will be like the Most High, right? Okay, watch this. Children, and we know this, grow to love Santa as an all-knowing, eternal, omnipresent, giving, supreme being with no beginning and no end. Sound familiar? By the way, that's what they believed of Molech, Baal, and Chemish. No beginning, no end, all-seeing, all-knowing. And they believed that this Satanic, and we'll talk about him and some of these other figures. They believed that when Satanic would come, he'd either bring you gifts or coal. Coal was a representation. It was symbolic of the fires of Molech, where children would be burned. It was almost as a threat. Santa flies on a magical chariot, much like Mithra, Sol Invictus, and Odin fly on magical horses, steeds, even goats. Now, understand, we have Santa, but in much of the world, they believe Santa is an elf, that he's literally an elf. Now, we think Santa, and then he has elf helpers. Well, Celtics believe elves were witches and wizards. In fact, you're going to see you'll see. And by the way, these elves were always depicted, identified with pointy Phrygian caps. These elves were believed to be the teachers of the dark arts. Now, if you look up a definition in Webster's of elf, it says hobgoblin, hang that on your belt, fairy, wandering spirits, usually living mischievous and malicious lives, beings, an evil spirit, a devil. H.P. Blavatsky, a Satanist and New Age guru, says elves were disembodied spirits used in magic and sorcery. They are often the principal agents of seances. Now that's real dark arts. That's a real Satanist. That's a real New Age guru in saying that elves are involved. Now throughout Europe, Germany, Italy, Hungary, Satan is called Santa Claus. He flies on a flying goat or a white horse. Now hang that goat thought on your, we'll look at that here shortly. In Europe, Santa Claus has dark elves, helpers. Well, here we go. Here's where it gets a little deeper. They are called Krampus, not Grandpa, Krampus, or the Krampets, Krampus. Half goat, half man, all demon. The word for Krampus, the German word for it, is defined as claw. Now, In the 1600s, there was a popular character in many of the plays, the popular plays, called Robin Goodfellow. This Robin Goodfellow character that seemed to appear in many of the plays of the 1600s was half goat and half man demon. He was called a hobgoblin or an elf. One of the authors said this: Robin itself is a medieval nickname for the devil. What? This goat man's trademark laugh was ho, ho, ho. That's 1600s. Now, good old Saint Nick was Christianized by the Catholic Church, right? They have the Pope. You remember what the Pope looks like? Hold that thought in your head. They Christianized this Saint Nick, and they basically named him a saint. They said he was a saint. However, in 1970, in the Vatican II, they stated that there was never a Saint Nick, despite the legends. Now, you'll hear all kinds of, Saint Nick was a real person. Well, the actual Catholic Church that sainted him came out in the 70s and said, by the way, there is no Saint Nick. That's all legend. Here's what they said exactly. No Roman Catholic bishop by the name of St. Nicholas ever existed. Legends attribute to St. Nicholas has no Christian origin and probably came from pagan traditions. Now, the Concise Dictionary of English Etymology, and you can put up the next photo, says the definition of Nick is devil. Do we have that one? No? That's okay. There you go. That's from the Concise Dictionary of English Etymology. Now, if you look at the Greek, in the Greek, you have Nicholas. That's the next picture. That's a conqueror of people. What do you think Satan wants to do? And by the way, in Revelation chapter 2, I didn't put this up there. It's just God says He hates the teachings of the Nicolaitans. They were taught by a guy named Nicholas. That's the only religious Nicholas we have. And listen, there are very few things that God says he hates, but that he hated the teachings of the Nicolaitans, Nicholas, the conqueror of the people. Now, some claim that Saint Nick is based on the saint of Myra in Turkey, who would leave gifts under a sacred tree if you were good. And if you were bad, here you go, his demon elves, the Krampus, would abduct children, the bad children, and put them in cages on their back, then beat them and eat them. Legends say Saint Nicholas captured, they say that he captured Satan and called him Krampus. So, in other words, Santa Claus's helpers, one of them is Satan himself. That's some legends say. He named him Krampus, Beelzebub, Zwartite, and Necrubic. Now, some cultures have even gone so far as to drop Santa Claus and only focus on Krampus, Satan. So no more gentle old men. Krampus in Germany is also called Weihnachtsmann, which means Santa Claus. So now you've got this Krampus and Santa Claus intertwined. You got Santa Claus being a devil. You got Krampus being a devil. And you got all of this celebration. So basically, in those cultures where Christmas sprung from, Satan and Santa Claus are the same person. And here's where it gets even creepier. Krampus is gaining popularity. Christmas is being unmasked and going back to its original roots. Let me show you video.
Thank you. Infektionen. Und falls doch jemand schlimm war, für den hätte ich die Krampusse mitgebracht. Aber Ruhe, Krampusse.
That's it, Italy, this last year. Have chains on a lot of these Krampus because that's how they bind Satan. Don't you look kind of popish?
Imagine walking into your state's capital during the week of Christmas and seeing this monstrosity. It's a so-called art display in Illinois depicting the satanic figure Baphomet as a baby. It sits right next to the Nativity. It's so obvious what the Satanic Temple, the group who put this thing on, is doing. They are mocking religious expression and the Nativity. Joining me now is Reverend Franklin Graham. Reverend Graham, Merry Christmas. Your reaction to this blasphemous image at the Illinois Capitol?
Well, first of all, the devil has been trying to destroy Christmas for 2,000 years. When King Herod sent his troops to Bethlehem to hunt for the baby Jesus to kill him. And so the devil has been trying to destroy Christmas ever since, and this is just another very sad attempt.
All right. Hey, Merry Christmas. You see why I didn't do that message? Well, listen, I had quite a few people come to me and say, hey, is Santa Claus bad? Listen, I would say, why have it? Why have it? Why not just purely focus on Jesus? But I'm going to tell you, you're going to ask me, Pastor Randy, so what's the point? Why are you telling us this? I'm so glad you asked. Romans. Chapter 1, I believe that we are in the last days and God is done. Revelation chapter 1, excuse me, Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through 32. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men having their natural use of women burn in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of error which it was due. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They were whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. See, I believe God's judgment has begun. He's turning the world over to its vices. Now, his judgment hasn't begun. His judgment has begun, not his wrath. His wrath doesn't begin until the church is gone. Who is that? Us. When is that? Rapture. But I want you to see here, next video 7, please. Our number seven.
The Chicago Lutheran Church generated major controversy, and it allowed a seminar dressed as a drag queen to read a sermon to children in the sacred place of worship. As the Western Journal reported last weekend, Aaron Musser, the preacher at St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Logan Square, said that instead of telling people how they should be joyful, he was showing them what made him joyful. He commented, and invited the children forward to read them a book. At the beginning of the service, I talked about joy as liberation or as freedom to be what you want to be and do what you want to do. He asked them, so this is everybody's first time that they're ever seeing a drag queen. Well, hello, I am also a boy most of the time when I'm here, but today I am a beautiful queen, the man dressed as a woman told the children. This is a controversial trend being promoted by pro-LGBT groups like the activist organization Drag Queen Story Hour, which urges men dressed in grotesque women's clothing to read to children in public places like schools and libraries, endorsed by the state's progressive and leftist wing adherents. The Drag Queen Story Hour website reads, Drag Queen Story Hour, DQSH, is just what it sounds like, drag queens reading stories to children in libraries, schools, and bookstores. It further says, DQSH captures the imagination and play of the gender fluidity of childhood and gives kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. And as stated by Mount Calvary Evangelical Lutheran Church, the ELCA holds that scripture is not necessarily always accurate on such matters as history and science. The site says, thus, the ELCA, that it lacks a consensus regarding what scripture teaches about homosexual activity, and furthermore, has also determined to allow the ordination of practicing homosexuals as long as they are in a lifelong, committed relationship. Undoubtedly, the progressive and leftist pro-LGBT agenda, which also pushes critical race theory, has burst into the church trying to degrade and dishonor its traditional doctrine. A Methodist church in the town of Boise, Idaho, sparked controversy when it replaced this week a huge stained glass window that had the image of America's founding fathers, Robert E. Lee, George Washington, and Abe Lincoln, for one with the image of Leontine Kelly, the country's first black female bishop, wearing a scarf with the colors of the LGBT rainbow. Meanwhile, Isaac Simmons, known by his name Mrs. Pentecost Drag, became the first drag queen certified as a candidate for ordination in the United Methodist Church earlier this year, showing once again the decline in the moral values of Christian doctrine.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I have a question.
Okay.
What is a woman?
A female human being with two X chromosomes.
It should be a very simple question to answer.
It is.
What is a woman?
I literally read you the answer in the dictionary.
Until that can be answered.
What do you mean until it can be answered? It's already been solved.
Can anybody just give a definition of what a woman is?
Are you a dictionary denier?
That's it.
That's, you know, we laugh, but it's sad. When you have politicians saying that transgenders can get pregnant and need an abortion. And you go, wait, they're running for office. Some of the candidates running for the president, back before the last election, were saying that during debates, that, listen, even transgenders need abortions. What? Listen, you know what's happening, folks? God is turning America over to its vices. That is the judgment before the wrath. Now, I don't know if you remembered, I didn't have time to pull it up, but, you know, Joe Rogan quoted a historian who says every nation that has fallen just before its fall was given over to gender, blurred lines of gender identity. Every nation. That, now, Joe Rogan is not a Christian. Far from it. And we'll talk about him a little bit later. But listen, God is giving over. And so what's happening is we have the world infiltrating and attacking the church. Not just attacking us, but infiltrating. They're coming into the church. We got drag queens teaching children in church services. You have church burnings. It was like almost 60 churches in Canada burned. You have pastors being arrested. And by the way, worse than that, in some countries, including Afghanistan recently, you've got Christians being raped and murdered. We're in the last days, folks. And here's what Hebrews 10:25 says. Let me read this and read it to you slowly. But not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. And yet, nowhere in there does it say unless there's a claimed pandemic. There's fear. Now, I'm not saying that this COVID thing isn't serious. I know people have died of the COVID. But do you realize that I will not die until God is done with me, COVID or no COVID? The day I pass, if I die of COVID, you could say, well, if it wasn't COVID, it would have been a car or a Big Mac or something. Choked. And put up number 8. Here we have a Roman Catholic priest saying that if you're not vaccinated, you should not attend Christmas services. Well, that's not what the scripture says. By the way, if I could meet this guy, thank you. If I could meet this priest, I would say, excuse me, sir, do you not believe that God can heal? I do. But see, do you understand? Here's what the world is doing. The world is saying, okay, we'll attack them from the outside. We'll even come inside and join and destroy it from the inside. But then we're also going to divide them. Social distancing, social media. Folks, can I tell you, keep your phone at a distance. Do you realize that the next generation does not know how to interact interpersonally? They do it barely. Do you know that in China, their apps have timers on them? So that when their kids are on TikTok or InstaFace or whatever they're on, Instagram, that it limits how long they can be in by default. And the advertisements they have in China are, hey, don't you think it's time to go outside? Hey, here's something new you can learn. It's educational. Not here. They're doing it on purpose, folks. They want to keep us from interacting. The devil wants the gospel to stop. He either destroy on from the outside, he'll infiltrate on the inside, or he'll divide us so that we can't be effective. You know, one of the other signs that we are in the last days is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. It says that in the last days there will be scoffers. You're going to tell me that we're not scoffed at for being believers? A report recently came out, I didn't have time to do this one, but a report recently came out that Christianity, believing in God, is at an all-time low. The devil is effective. That is why God says, in the last days, why am I drawing a blank here? Let me just go back and read it. Forsake, that's the word. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Yet so many people, well, you know, church is a hobby. Well, for some people, the church is a hobby. They might find out that that's all God was in their life too. Let's move to our verse now for this section. Oh, man, I got a rock. You know, we're going to get through all of this. I'm not going to skip. You know what? We may go just a little longer than normal. Matthew 24, verse 3 through 14. Now, he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Now, I love the fact that they came to him privately. That means they earnestly, they're just like, "Jesus, tell us when you're coming back. When is..." I would want to know that if I was hanging with Jesus. I mean, like, even now I ask Jesus all the time, "What is it going to be?" He's like, "Hey, no one knows, my Father, but it's coming soon." We'll talk about that here in a moment. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you." What? "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, first of all, many will come in their name and say, "I am the Christ." And, you know, that could be some, we've seen some nutballs in the past, you know, the Branch Davidians and Sun Young Moon and all these different, a bunch of different people who have claimed to be Jesus. But even when you say, you know, some come and say, "I'm the Christ," there are some preachers that say, "I'm a Christian," and they're deceiving many as well. So we got to be sure that we're not deceived. We need to be people of the word. But then he says that you will hear of wars and rumors of war. Now, we all, you know, I'm not going to give you anything new, but just to for a backdrop, China. China has wanted is wanting to invade Taiwan. They want to invade Australia. And both Taiwan and Australia are very nervous. But I don't know if you remember this or you heard this. If you did, that's okay. I'm going to refresh your memory. Put up number 9, please. The Chinese people, this is President Jing. He says, "The Chinese people have never bullied, suppressed, or enslaved the people of other countries. At the same time, the Chinese people will never allow any foreign force to bully." Next picture. "Oppress or enslave us. Anyone who dares try to do that will have their heads bashed bloody against the great wall of steel forged by over 1.4 billion Chinese people." That was a warning. Now, it was ambiguous, but it was meant for Joe Biden and America. There's a rumor of war. How about Russia? Russia wants to invade the Ukraine. Next picture, please. Russian TV warns weak Joe Biden. This is their words. Russian TV warns weak Joe Biden to meet their demands or they will reduce us to radioactive ash. They're not afraid of us. We are turning our military woke. Weak. It's not good. Many of the special forces will tell you that they're really concerned about the direction the higher-ups in the military are going. But there is someone pulling the strings behind the scene. But when it comes to wars and rumors of wars, we should really, really focus more on what's going on with Israel, because that's really what Jesus is focusing on. Well, put up pic number 11, please. Israel reportedly approves of $1.5 billion budget specifically earmarked for a strike on Iran. This large chunk of Israel's total military budget indicates that Jerusalem views the Iranian nuclear threat as an urgent priority. Well, wow, that's a lot of money to put for very specific, a strike against Iran. Why is that important? Because we know that the Battle of Gog and Magog include Russia, Iran, Turkey. Those are all very important to be watching. And we are on the cusp of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. Put up the next pic. Well, how does Iran feel about it? Well, here's what they said. In warning to Israel, Iran says it fired 16 ballistic missiles. Iran fired multiple ballistic missiles Friday at close to a 5-day of military drills that generals say were a warning to Israel that included mock attacks on Israel's nuclear facility. Now realize, not ready for that. Thank you. Uh-oh. Okay. Well, realize this. Israel is barely 200 miles across. Do you realize that? That's about the distance from here to Vegas. That's the size of Israel. The Gaza Strip, which is a heated battle. I mean, they're firing rockets back and forth on a regular basis. When we were in Israel, they were firing rockets in Gaza. And it was like from here to Laughlin, from where we were. And they were like, I was like, no, man, I was sleeping. I was grabbing some Z's. But can you imagine if tomorrow we woke up and someone said, hey, they just bombed Searchlight? Think about that. Oh, you know what? There was multiple warheads that hit Laughlin. You see, we feel so far removed, but they are being bombed almost every day. There are bombs dropping over in Israel, Syria. It's heated over there. And the tensions are drawing hotter. Why? Because Jesus said it would in the last days. Oh, it gets better. Verse 7. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. And we see that. Oh, but wait, hold on. All these things are the beginnings of sorrows. Now, real quick, there will be famines and pestilences. Pestilences, diseases. Okay, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but I think we got about a 8-minute video. It's kind of long, but very interesting. Funny too. I don't want all this to be heavy. So if we can get the next video, I'm not sure prayerfully it works, but go ahead. We'll try. If not, we'll move on.
But I'll try not to sound crazy and tie this together. Gain of function, with which Fauci says never happened, happened in November of 2015. It happened with Dr. Barrett. It was a published paper, November 2015. The USAID and Fauci with EcoHealth, were funding it. It was happening with the Wuhan people, so we know that. But what you may not know is in November, the same month that published paper comes out, the United States begins a partnership with Moderna, and they are searching for mRNA coronavirus vaccines.
Before.
Kind of a weird coincidence. Hit. But wait, it gets worse. In this time, we skip to 2018, DARPA receives a proposal from Dr. Barrick, US guy, Dr. Shi from Wuhan, and Peter Daszak from EcoHealth, DARPA sees this and says, this is far too dangerous. We're rejecting your proposal. We don't know what happened from there, but we do know just about 12 months later in Wuhan, where Peter Daszak, Dr. Shi, the Bat Lady, and Dr. Barrick were all doing research on coronaviruses. About a year later, there's an outbreak, and the outbreak actually begins, according to documents that we have that have been smuggled out of China, that there were 10 hospitals involved by October with patients that we now know are corona-like virus symptoms. They didn't know what was going on. Now, that was in October. Remember, we didn't know anything about this in December. We were starting to get rumblings. China said there was some sort of an outbreak on December 31st. But Dr. Barrick signs a government deal with Moderna. I want to read it exactly to you. This deal was made. It's confidential. It's 158 pages long. It is, if I skip to page 104, they are entering a specific private confidential agreement. The NIH appears to be transferring technology to Dr. Barrick, but what they're making clear is, quote, mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates developed and jointly owned by NIAID and Moderna. Now, this is weird because it's 2 weeks later that we know there's a problem. They signed that deal 2 weeks, who happened to be a partner with the Bat Lady in Wuhan. Here's where it gets really dark. These are the same group of people that in the end of January begin to have meetings, and they shut down and begin to smear anyone who's looking into the lab leak theory. They establish that's not true. Don't even look there. It appears to be collusion. We've passed this on to several people in Congress and the Senate. We know Rand Paul is on this, and Dr. Fauci has some answers to give.
Well, I just want to affirm what you're saying. You're the reporting, the amazing reporting you've done on this. Here's a clip of the recently departed NIH director, Francis Collins, admitting on camera that the U.S. government has a stake in the vax. Watch this.
Who's going to own that vaccine? Does the federal government own it?
One of the vaccines, the one that's furthest along, was started actually at the federal government in our own vaccine research center at NIH, and then worked with a biotechnology company called Moderna to get to where we are now with very impressive phase one results and getting ready to go into a large-scale trial as early as July. That one, of course, we do have some particular stake in the intellectual property.
You are not making this up. What you're saying is true. Really quickly, why is this not a front page story everywhere?
These are documents that prove beyond, I think, any kind of reasonable doubt, something very wrong is happening here. Moderna had been turned down for any kind of vaccine research by everyone publicly over and over again. And now this test is being done on our children. This is the only time that anybody will admit they were doing any kind of testing on coronavirus research for a vaccine with Moderna.
It's just beyond belief.
Some journalists claim that COVID-19 news is being censored to create one official narrative, that some information is being excluded and other information is being promoted.
YouTube has removed the Joe Rogan interviews of doctors Robert Malone and Peter McCullough after the videos racked up millions of views on both YouTube and Spotify.
Dr. Malone blasted the current politicization and profit of the vaccines and said it was destroying the practice of medicine worldwide, while Dr. McCullough discussed contagion control and early prevention.
You are being played. Do you understand what's happening? You are absolutely being played.
141 people are in hospital with COVID at present, and 43 are in intensive care, 18 of whom require ventilation. So this is a very serious disease. Of those 141, 60 are under the age of 55 and 28 under the age of 35. And of the 43 people in intensive care, one is in their teens, seven are in their 20s, three are in their 30s, 14 are in their 50s, and 12 are in their 60s, and six are in their 70s. So this is affecting people of all ages with very serious disease. All but one are vaccinated. One person has just received one dose of vaccine. All but one are vaccinated. One person has just received one dose of vaccine.
And specifically, I hope that you had a better Christmas than the sailors who were on board the USS Milwaukee. Because on Christmas Eve, and despite the fact that 100% of those sailors were fully vaccinated, they had a COVID outbreak on board the ship, which forced them to suspend operations and dock at Guantanamo Bay. And if you've been following this story, you know that it's not only happening to warships, because on that very same day, a cruise liner with fully vaccinated passengers, as well as a fully vaccinated staff, they likewise experienced a COVID outbreak, which stopped them from being able to dock in Mexico.
And when I interviewed you for it, you were talking about how little progress we've made in science in combating pandemics, because in 1918, the advice was wear a mask, wash your hands.
That's right.
And 103 years later, wear a mask, wash your hands.
It was soul crushing to find that. I was really hoping that, like, in 1918, they'd be like, drink a tincture of mercury and butterfly juice. Like, I was hoping it'd be like some bizarre thing, and I'm like, we've come a long way, baby. It's the exact same.
How do you feel about the science now,
though? So I will say this. And I honestly mean this. I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has, in many ways, helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science. So, and that's kind of...
Hold on one second.
No. Listen.
I wouldn't do that to you. What do you mean by that? Do you mean like there's a chance that this was created in a lab? There's an investigation.
A chance?
Well, but if there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask those scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle. And you're like, no, if you look at the name... Look at the name. Let me see your business card. Show me your business card. Oh, I work at the coronavirus lab in Wuhan. Oh, because there's a coronavirus loose in Wuhan. How did that happen? Maybe a bat flew into the cloaca of a turkey and then it sneezed into my chili. And now we all have coronavirus. Like, come on.
Wait a second.
All right.
John.
Oh, my God. There's been an outbreak of chocolatey goodness near Hershey, Pennsylvania. What do you think happened? Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe a steam shovel mated with a cocoa bean. Or it's the chocolate factory. Maybe that's it.
That could be. That could be.
By the way, I gave them all tuberculosis.
Yes. That could very well be. And Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins at NIH have said, like, it should definitely be investigated.
Don't stop with the logic and people and things. The name of the disease.
Wait a second.
The building.
Wait a second. But it could be possible. You could be right. It could be possible that they have the lab in Wuhan to study the novel coronavirus diseases because in Wuhan there are a lot of novel coronavirus diseases because of the bat population there.
I understand.
It's a local specialty,
and it's the only place to find bats. You won't find bats anywhere
else.
Austin, Texas has thousands of them that fly out of a cave every night. Every night at dusk. Is there a coronavirus, an Austin coronavirus? No, it doesn't seem to be an Austin coronavirus. The only coronavirus we have is in Wuhan.
Yes.
Where they have a lab called, what's the lab called again, Stephen?
The Wuhan Novel Coronavirus Lab.
I believe that's the case.
Maybe somebody took it from the wild, put it in the lab, and then it escaped from the lab. But that means it was in the wild to begin with. So that's why I don't get what they're talking about.
I had to put something fun in there. That, by the way, neither one of them... neither one of them are Christians. Neither one of them are conservative. Both those guys are far, far, far left. But, you know, one guy, he gets it. The other guy, well, he doesn't want to get it. Did you see earlier, you got a warship out at sea, all the soldiers vaxxed, and they got corona. Cruise ship. All the guests and all the vaxxed, and they had an outbreak of corona. The vax, if you got vaccinated, great. Here's what I know. The Bible says that I could, if I accidentally drink poison or I get bit by a snake, it won't harm me. As a Christian, if you got the shot, you're fine. God's got you. You will not pass from this life one day sooner than what God has planned. However, we should be, by the way, Joe Rogan, the episode that was removed was his interview with Robert Malone. Now, you can go find it on Rumble, on Spotify. Robert Malone created the RNA, and he is against giving the shot to children. He says there are some things the government's doing very wrong. And isn't science supposed to be questioned? But no, you can't question. There are a myriad of doctors that say, don't get it, don't get it, don't get it. And they're silenced and throttled and demonetized and removed. So, I could do a whole week just on that, the amount of videos I have to prove just how bad this whole thing is. It's really, go look up The Great Reset. Have fun with that on your own. I don't have time to develop that. Let's move on. Some more fun stuff. Earthquakes, pestilence, famine, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. Now, maybe some of those things are happening because we have our hands in the pie. Can you put up picture 14? An article in Futurism. China, listen to this. This is true. China has succeeded in literally changing the weather. A new study claims the South China Morning Post reports researchers say that during the Chinese Communist Party centennial celebration, that's a mouthful, over the summer, weather authorities successfully modified the weather above Beijing to clear the skies. They did so using cloud seeding technology. A long-studied but controversial process involves shooting silver iodine particles into the cloud with the idea of attracting water droplets to modify the weather. Paper by researchers at China Tsinghua University comes a year after reports, listen to this, that China was dramatically expanding its weather modification program to a testing area of 5.5 million square miles by the year 2025. That's bigger than the entire country of India. By the way, China actually first experimented with this back in 2008 for the Beijing Olympics to keep the skies clear. By the way, God is a giver of rain. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Talk about wanting to play God. Knowledge puffs up. Well, it gets even better. We're just getting to the good stuff, folks. How about Forbes article? I'm just reading what I... Microsoft billionaire... founder Bill Gates financially backing the development of sun-dimming technology that would potentially reflect the sun out of the Earth's atmosphere, triggering global cooling effect. Ah. The stratospheric-controlled perturbation experiment launched by Harvard University scientists aimed to examine this solution by spraying non-toxic, it's always non-toxic, right? Non-toxic calcium carbonate dust into the atmosphere, a sun-reflecting aerosol that may offset the effects of global warming. Now, I can't help it. I am not a scientist, but it doesn't take a billionaire or a scientist to recognize the wording non-toxic calcium carbonate. They want to reduce carbon emissions so they can spray carbonite dust into the air. Figure that one out. And by the way, you remember Revelation says that the sun and the moon will be darkened and will not give off light. Now, I'm not saying that, but wouldn't it be ironic if it's man-made? Isn't that God's way sometimes? Give you what you want and let it run its course. Perhaps that's what's going to happen. I don't know. But it's very interesting. You can go look that up on your own. Let's keep moving. I got more groovy stuff. Verse 9 of Matthew. 24. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and then many will be offended. Now, isn't the offense of many, isn't that growing? There are more and more Karens. Carls and Karens, I don't know what the equivalent, male equivalent. But man, everyone is so easily triggered these days. Then many will be offended. Boy, did God get that right. But they will betray one another and hate one another. I had another video, but we just don't have time. I didn't even put it in the playlist. But there are more and more comedians that are criticizing people who, making jokes, belittling the people who say they don't believe in the vaccine as being those who believe in God, and belittling, and the crowds are laughing and applauding. They're beginning to turn because the government, there are some governments overseas that are saying, they're saying, if you know someone who's not vaccinating, having a group meeting, turn your neighbors in. Listen to the wording. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. You'll be hated for my namesake. Many will be offended. They will turn you over. We're going to be betrayed by our neighbors, by our friends at some point. People who are left behind that don't get the mark are going to be turned over. Oh, you didn't get the mark? I got the mark. The vaccine is not the mark. It's preparation for it, folks. I just want to tell you, they're talking about the next wave of vaccines are going to have a chip in it. They're preparing. That's all preparation. They're getting us used to being subservient. They're taking away our freedoms. First Amendment, Second Amendment, on down the line. They're just going to take them all. But they're doing it slowly so we don't rebel. Verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. Tell me that's not happening. Just look at the violence in some of these cities where they have defunded and throttled back on the police department. 500% more killings, shootings, and of course robberies, no big deal, as long as it's under $1,000. Have at. But he who endures to the end will be saved. This is the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Excuse me. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Now jump down all the way down to verse 44. I've got more. We're not done yet. We're going to go over. I hope you don't mind if we go over. Okay. Verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, oh boy. Knowledge, the Bible tells us that in the end, knowledge will increase. Men will travel to and fro. Watch this.
This is a case where you have a very serious danger to the public. It's much greater than the danger of nuclear warheads by a lot. It's capable of vastly more than almost anyone knows, and the rate of improvement is exponential.
I try to convince people to slow down. Slow down AI, to regulate AI. This was futile.
It scares the hell out of me, for me.
It's a crazy thought, but I'm going to tell it to you anyways. So I was just reading one of Ray Kurzweil's books. I think it was called How to Make a Mind. I really liked it, actually. It helped me understand how the brain compresses information, because the world's really complicated, eh? So you have to make a low-resolution representation of it to live in it. But, you know, Kurzweil is this guy who thinks that he's a smart guy, very smart guy, and he's invented a fair bit of high-end technological software and hardware. And he's the guy that thinks that we're heading towards the singularity. And so the singularity is, you know, how processing speed doubles every 18 months and like hard disk capacity every year, and there's a bunch of doublings going on, a huge number of them, and they accelerate exponentially. And so we're probably 3 years away, maybe even less, than from building a computer that has the capacity to make as many calculations as reasonable estimates of the calculating capacity of the human brain are currently set at. 18 months away, 2 years away, something like that. And then we're 18 months away from having one that's twice that fast, and then 18 months away from having one that's twice as fast as that. So that's like, say, 6 years. And we've got something that's eight times as smart as a human being. But there's a twist on that, and this is Kurzweil's twist, which is as soon as you make a machine smart enough to make the next machine that's smarter than it, which is sort of what we're doing, because computers are so fast, that will scale up to near infinite computing power almost instantaneously. And there are serious people who are very, very, very worried about that. They're very worried, for example, that companies like Facebook and Google will manage that first. And, you know, those companies are already making censorship AI bots. And that's not that smart. It's sort of like making really fast robots that can shoot people. It's not that smart. And we're doing that, too, very rapidly. And, you know, I know some guys who work in advanced AI. And you know how you watch the Terminator movies and you see the robots that miss when they shoot at you? Like, they're not very bright. Because the bright ones not only shoot at where you are, but they estimate where you're going to be when you make your escape moves, and they shoot there simultaneously, and their death rate is 100%.
Let's see these mini-brain organoids, if you've got them.
In these incubators, we culture the so-called mini-brain organoids.
Tiny brains.
You have to clean your hand for...
We shouldn't touch anything. No, no. Gabe, do not touch anything.
They are the mini brains.
Those are the brains?
Yeah, those are the mini brain organoids, yes. We keep them spinning for a quite period of time, therefore they can grow well.
These don't have eyes? Or they just don't have eyes yet?
Well, you can't see them from the distance. They do have, some of them do have eye-like structures.
Just in this refrigerator, how many mini brains are we looking at here?
So every flask, you can have hundreds of them.
So it's thousand, maybe? Do you have
altogether, you might have 1,000.
Do they remain this size, or do they get bigger? Or?
No, they grow as the time passes by.
Scientists were able to develop human brain cells in a Petri dish and taught them how to play video games faster than an AI. Hundreds of thousands of human brain cells grown in a lab can now play retro classic Pong by firing off neurons that would move the paddle back and forth according to the location of the ball in the video game. Australian scientists at Cortical Labs created the system called Dish Brain, which is comprised of brain cells that are grown on top of microelectrode arrays that can both stimulate the cells. The scientists were able to teach the brain cells to play the game in just 5 minutes, which is significantly faster than artificial intelligence, AI, which picks up the game after 90 minutes. In order to teach the cells how to play the game, the team used a single-player version of Pong and sent electrical signals to either the right or left of the array to indicate where the ball is. Brett Kagan, Chief Scientific Officer of Cortical Labs, who leads the research, told New Scientist, "We think it's fair to call them cyborg brains. We often refer to them as living in the matrix. When they are in the game, they believe they are the paddle."
This is a case where you have a very serious danger to the public. It's much greater than the danger of nuclear warheads, by a lot. It's capable of vastly more than almost anyone knows, and the rate of improvement is exponential.
I try to convince people to slow down AI, to regulate AI. This was futile.
It scares the hell out of me, for me.
So they have thousands of brains, miniature little brains. The guys say, "Hey, do they grow eyes?" "Yeah, they grow eyes." And they've taught them, that same lab is where they taught them how to play Pong. Is that creepy? Well, how about this? Human animal chimeras. Big pharma has been doing chimera experiments for some time now. Human embryos injected into animal fetuses, excuse me. Yeah, that's a huge difference. Human embryos injected into animal fetuses. NIH put a ban on specific type of experiments, example, human stem cells into animal embryos. But 5 years ago, they lifted it. Why? To keep up with China. So now this kind of research is being funded by our government and private money. They have used this research to grow human organs, pigs, sheep, and they even have mice that are 4% human. Now, imagine, what are they doing in China where there's no legal limit or ethical constraints? It used to be that when they initially started this research that they said, you know, within 7 to 14 days you had to destroy whatever it is. Well, two research teams have announced that they found the first, that they announced that they have grown the first human monkey embryo and kept it alive for over 20 days. Because what happens is it begins to develop a nervous system and other things. This is beyond the international accepted limits. Now, I think there should be no accepted limits. Requiring, they were supposed to destroy them. Now, there's some stuff that was like way too creepy to even show you guys, but watch this.
Breaking news, this shocking bombshell from Reuters, China's military has been harvesting and collecting DNA from millions of pregnant women in more than four dozen countries around the world via a popular prenatal test sold by China's big company. It's called the BGI Group. Okay, let's break down what Reuters is reporting. That the BGI Group, this Chinese company, developed the test in collaboration with China's military in order to collect genetic data on the genetic traits of populations from around the globe. Reuters is saying this: China wants to be on a path to economic and military world dominance, also dominance in pharmaceuticals. Now, Congressman, China, the Reuters is reporting that China, the BGI group, is saying, yeah, we are taking this data for our national security and China's defense, and to improve, it's about improving, quote, population quality. What's that about?
Well, it's the scariest possible thing is that improving population quality would eliminate somebody from that wouldn't be considered of quality. And when you look at what happened with COVID-19 and you look at the question of what if the next virus targets specific genetic traits that are found in one country or one people and not another, it is a thing of science fiction, but it's also the thing of science fact. And that's what we're dealing with China, is that nothing is out of the possibility, at least for them to explore on their path to world dominance.
Well, this puts into new context why China is accused of covering up the origins of the outbreak in Wuhan, and how the Wuhan lab was collaborating with the Chinese military, and also that Dr. Fauci and the NIH was funding the Wuhan lab supervirus research. China is running the biggest DNA databank in the world, and that they're using the DNA that they're harvesting via this prenatal test that the BGI group sells. That's the Chinese company. It's a popular test, too. Maybe they're talking about genetically enhanced soldiers, pathogens that would target Americans or other populations around the world, target the food supply. The U.S. and the U.K. gives DNA to China of Americans and of British people. China doesn't allow its Chinese DNA to go out of the country. China has been accused of genocide.
Children's Hospital.
Out of the right material is only a start.
to turn one into a living body part, an ear, for example. It must then be seeded with cells. A few weeks in an incubator allows those cells to multiply, covering the scaffold. Then comes a rather strange test.
This is really creepy. I mean, mice are creepy enough, and this one has no hair and a human ear growing on its back.
Yes.
He doesn't seem to mind that he has an ear growing on his back.
No, he knows he's here for a bigger purpose. But this is a very, very important step in the science, because on the back of this animal, we're actually incubating and growing perfect cartilage in the shape of a human ear. And it's completely connected to the blood vessels, so that it's just like a native ear in a normal circumstance.
In 1940, Soviet scientists released a video of severed dog heads that they'd kept alive for several hours. The heads were able to wiggle their ears in response to auditory stimuli and could even lick their mouths. According to the scientists, beyond this so-called zombie dog experiment, the canines had been kept alive through an artificial blood circulation system. In 2005, American scientists from the University of Pittsburgh conducted a similar experiment. They flushed a number of dogs of all their blood before replacing it with oxygen and sugar-filled saline. The dogs went into cardiac arrest and were declared clinically dead. A few hours later, the dogs then received a blood transfusion and an electric shock. Lo and behold, the dogs were resurrected. Many of them appeared a little disheveled, but pretty much as though nothing had happened to them. In January 2017, scientists from the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in La Jolla, California, announced that they had successfully created a human-pig hybrid. The scientific team injected human stem cells into an early-stage pig embryo, which was then implanted into a female pig. The pig-human embryos were allowed to develop to 28 days, approximately one-third of a pig pregnancy, before being removed. Lead scientist Juan Carlos Ispasua Belmonte said that this was long enough to understand how the human and pig cells mixed together early on without raising ethical concerns about mature chimeric animals. One of the main sticking points about combining human and animal genes is the idea that it could create intelligent animals with humanized brains, and the questions this would raise about the sanctity of life of different species. Continuing with our theme of mixing the genes of two different species together, our next fact is about a spider-goat hybrid. Randy Lewis, a professor of genetics at Utah State University, is the mastermind behind this remarkable scientific endeavor. Lewis had been investigating spider silk. It's five times stronger than steel and could be repurposed for various uses, from armor to medical bandages. The problem with spiders, though, is that A, they're only very small and do not produce great quantities of silk, and B, they're too cannibalistic to be farmed. The professor therefore found an obvious solution to these problems: implant spider DNA into goats. He took the silk-encoded gene from an orb weaver spider and placed it among the DNA that prompts milk production in goats' udders. This DNA was then inserted into an egg and implanted into a mother goat. 150 days later, and boom, baby spider goat. When the spider goats lactate, the resultant milk is rich in spider silk protein, which can be filtered out and spooled onto a reel.
Human chimeras living among us, it's only science fiction for right now. Yesterday, the Senate passed the Endless Frontier Act, a bill that commits nearly $250 billion to promote emerging technologies so that America can keep pace with Chinese innovation. Back in May, Democrats shot down an important amendment outlawing U.S. participation in research that would create human-animal hybrids, also known as chimeras. China's already doing it, announcing in April that an international team successfully grew human-monkey embryos and sustained them for 20 days in a lab. The only question...
It goes on a little longer, but you get the idea. Now, notice what they're using. Stem cells. That's why, listen, that's why the abortion issue is so hot as well. First of all, Planned Parenthood is making billions, because they're selling the parts to scientists so that they can do that. And by the way, the spider goats, there's a guy with a whole farm full of them. And it's kind of weird when the guy goes to visit and he's looking around and he's like, so these have spider DNA in these goats. And then they milk them, and then they find a spider web silk in the milk, lots of it. It's just weird. And you go, well, that's good science. No, listen. Do you see what science is doing? What? First, they want to control the weather. Isn't that of God? They want to control our religion. They want to control our sex and our race. And now they even want to control life, both artificial and real. You think God is going to put up with that? Lord Jesus is coming soon, folks. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with the fervent heat. Both the earth and its works that are within it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will dissolve, what manner of person ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? And then Luke. I love Luke. He says this. Verse 21, verse 28. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. The world is getting evil. Even our holy celebrations are being infiltrated. But when it all push comes to shove, they can't infiltrate your heart or my heart. They can't steal our faith. They can't mutate my faith. And so let's stand strong. Let us have the resolve, knowing that the end is near. What are we going to do about it? Live like the same old life? Or should we be on fire for God to see others come to know the Lord who is coming soon? Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this time. Gosh, that was a lot. But Lord, I pray that it was beneficial. I pray that everyone is challenged, encouraged, on fire, and aware. No fear, because perfect love casts out fear. And Father God, you, Lord, did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of might. And Father God, we want to walk in that power, and we want to also glorify you. And so, Lord, may we take heed, and may we be aware. May we not stick our head in the sand, but Lord, may we open our mouth and may we utilize our freedoms while we still have them. And Father, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Let's stand and sing.